civil priority. Isolation now in effect. To avoid the risk of contamination, please stay indoors and await further instructions.
Well, good morning or good evening, Tribe World. It's Ray here with yet another lockdown interview, and actually more an anniversary interview as well, that with it being our 21st year. And I'm joined now by a tremendous young lady, and you best known and loved by all is Dee. And we've had a lot of messages saying, oh, come on, let's get Dee on and find out what Dee's up to these days, or it's Kelly more like. So join me in welcoming the very lovely Kelly Stevenson. Good morning or good evening, Kelly, or good morning it is for you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Ray. How are you?
I'm very well. I mean, we were just saying before we started recording, it's nighttime for me now, Kelly, in Australia. And a lot of the listeners will know, normally I do the podcast interviews in the daytime, and we get these birds. Australia's got the most amazing birds, but they're very noisy. So it's all quiet now. So the listeners will be saying, thank goodness for that. All the birds, I think, want to sleep. But I'm just aware that I can hear some rustling in the trees, and my imagination is going, I'm thinking those birds are wakening up now and saying, hey, come and squawk. That Ray is out now in the garden. But anyway, it's lovely to hear your voice, Kelly. And how are you? How have you been doing with all this COVID-19? Are you back at work? You're out of lockdown now?
Yeah, so here in the UK, we're not really in lockdown as such anymore. Like, things are starting to reopen now. It's just very slow, really. But I am back at one of my jobs, and my other job, I won't be back till September because it's obviously term time. So it's the summer holidays here now in the UK for our children. But I'm back at one of my jobs, and it's going really well, to be honest. Everyone's fine, we're fit, we're healthy.
And how long were you locked down? How long were you, about 10 weeks, was it, Kelly? Or how long you were not allowed out of the house? And were you able to leave the house just for walks and this kind of thing when you were in lockdown?
Yeah, we were allowed to go for an hour's walk once a day, and only to go to the shop for essentials like food. So we weren't like fully in lockdown. Like, we're very lucky that we've been blessed with good health, I suppose. We went into lockdown in March over here in the UK, and it's only just starting to unfold now.
Yeah, it's about the same time as Australia and New Zealand, of course. They're very lucky. The Prime Minister was very good. They went very hard, very early, and we've got all the team in New Zealand where they say it's almost back to normal now, you know. And that's terrific. The borders are still closed, though, mind you, but life is pretty normal. And I'm still out in Australia, stranded, and it's not a bad place, as we were saying earlier, Kelly, to be stranded our winter. It's I look out at kangaroos and birds and beautiful sunlight, so I'm very blessed and very lucky. And then I get to spend my time speaking with nice people like yourself and the cast and reminiscing. And so, Kelly, what have you been, you're mentioning about your two jobs, and you were saying before we started recording, you're working with children. That's interesting. What do you do with the kids? Is it teaching? Is it you got to it through teaching drama? Mm-hmm. So you work with, what ages are they?
Oh, a vast range now. I work with children from as young as 3 years old, all the way up to adults.
Wow.
So one of my jobs is at the local college, where I'm supporting learners through their academic studies. So I could be with a 16-year-old in one lesson, and then I could be with a bunch of adults in another lesson, who some of them are even older than myself. So, yeah.
When you support them, how do you support them? It's not still through drama, is it? Or is it through other areas?
Oh, all areas of the curriculum now. Maths, English, ICT, art, music, drama, you name it, I'm doing it.
Great. So with maths, if I was struggling with maths, mm-hmm. what would you do? I mean, do you, unless you're some genius, Einstein character that you didn't let me know when we worked together?
Not quite.
How are you able to, what do you actually do? Are you, you administer them, do you, or kind of support them emotionally, or what, in what way?
So it depends on what learning difficulty that they have. Like some of my students might need it broken down, like the whole question, if you know what I mean, broken down into segments so that they fully understand what the question's actually asking them to do.
Right.
And some of them are really good. Like they might just go, oh, hang on, like, what's this bit again? So it just depends on the student.
Oh, isn't that great though? Do you enjoy it?
I love it. Yeah, it's brilliant.
No, I think that's, you know, a great legacy. Education is always a great legacy, but particularly if you're working with people with difficulties. And, you know, through my wife and I, we have a charity and we work with a lot of people in a similar way. And it's very, very rewarding and fulfilling and terrific, really. It's, isn't it? It's a nice, you talk about job satisfaction. If you can assist those who are struggling or less fortunate, it does make the world a better place, that's for sure.
Nice to see them growing as well. It's like they'll come in at the start of the year.
Yes.
And, you know, they might be very shy and they don't know what they're doing. And then towards the end of the year, they've just totally come out of themselves. And it's so nice to be a part of that and think that you've helped them in that way.
Isn't that lovely? I would imagine you work with a lot on the autistic spectrum, probably, do you? Asperger's syndrome?
Yeah, definitely. It mainly is the autistic spectrum, to be honest.
Well, Kelly, I wish I had you when I was a young lad struggling at school. I didn't have any support in those days, you know? And so the thing I could do is to play truant. And so I was a very naughty boy, a very bad lad. I got terribly frustrated and, you know, and I had special needs, and I always thought I was eccentric. But, you know, I had real difficulty learning and writing. And so well done to you. And I think that's a tremendous, tremendous thing to do. And Kelly, you said you had another job. What's your other job?
Oh, so I've just started my own organic clothing company. We sell anything from T-shirts to hoodies to art prints. And we're in collaboration with WWF UK. Wow. So I'm working alongside with them so that anything that we sell, a percentage will go straight to them through Work for Good.
What do they do, Kelly? Just for listeners outside the UK, what's WWF? What does that do? What's that organisation?
So it's basically the Worldwide Fund. So it's the conservation of wildlife and animals and animal welfare. But it's the one here in the UK that I'm working with.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. And so you as and that's an area you've always been interested in?
Oh, yes, definitely. I love anything to do with animal welfare and conservation, definitely. And especially these days with all the pollution and the whaling. And, you know, it's just nice to get out there and be able to help and give back as much as I possibly can. And if I can do that through our designs, even better.
Isn't it? Now, for any fans or listeners who want to check out, how can they find out more information? Do you have a website?
I do. I have a website. And we also have a Facebook, and I've just set up an Instagram page as well.
Oh, well, give the IDs right now, and that will... So I'm going to make a note of them myself. So your website is...
So it's www.readsupportsave.tmail.com.
Fantastic. And your Facebook page?
It's Read Support Save Organic Clothing.
And then your Instagram?
RSS_Organic Clothing Company.
Well, that sounds great. So I'm going to, when we finish this, before I go to bed tonight, I'll put through an order and get some. Yeah, that's funny. Well, well done to you. I mean, that's an area that my family and most of the team actually at Cloud9 were very into conservation and animal welfare. And was Bob still alive, Kelly, when you were playing D, Bob the dog?
Yes.
Yeah, well, poor old Bob, you may or may not know Bob. We retired to go on my vineyard, and Bob became my best friend. And And I loved Bob, and he was just a special. It's like swimming, you know, to sit with a dog. It does something, doesn't it? It's another dimension. It's like swimming with dolphins or something. I mean, they just seem to know you and read. Yes, and you need them. I miss them dearly. And you know, we've since had a couple of other dogs, and I'm out here in Australia, as I say, and I'm pondering. Maybe I'll go and get a dog tomorrow or something. I miss them. So, you know? But I do. I love wildlife as well. And Kelly, you've got two. You're also a mum, which is the greatest job. And you've got two sons, Brandon and Corey. Is it? Brandon's 14 almost.
So Brandon's 14 now. Just turned 14 last month. So he got a tash for his birthday. My youngest is only 7. He's Kobe. He was actually named after Kobe Bryant from basketball.
Ah,
felt the same way.
Wow! And does he enjoy? Is he a fan of basketball? Or
oh yes, fan of basketball and football. My eldest literally has just gone back to football training on Monday night. He's absolutely buzzing. Bless him. I mean, we've got a big back garden. We're very lucky. Yes. And he's got a massive goalpost to keep practicing and training with, but it's just not the same. Like, he's missed his teammates and coaches, and his face just lit up when he could go back on Monday. So,
and what position does he play?
He's a defender or a midfielder.
So now, who's his professional team? Who does he follow?
Oh, he loves Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Yeah, even though we're nowhere near Chelsea. I think it was just the year that he got into football, Chelsea won the Premier League. So that was it. It was just all Chelsea. His bedroom was Chelsea, everything. And he still follows them now.
Well, you should mention to Brandon that a young Ray Thompson, when I wasn't playing truant from school, I was playing soccer with a fellow classmate who was a year ahead of me, and his name was Peter Osgood. Now, Peter Osgood, you and a lot of our listeners of this generation will think, who the hell is Peter Osgood?
Yeah.
But in the day, Peter was a star striker at Chelsea, and he's got a statue of himself in Chelsea, and he was an English, he played for England, had a number of camps, and was a tremendous guy. And I used to try and defend against him, and he would run rings around me.
I'll tell him that. He'll be buzzing.
Peter Osgood. And so ask him to Google Peter Osgood. And Peter, you know, I grew up in Windsor. So Peter was a superstar even at our school. And that's, he was part of the reason I used to go to school, because when we had sports, I was like, Brandon, I love soccer, still love soccer. I love all sports, actually. And now, again, some of the basketball fans will cringe when I say it. Poor Kobe was the young man who died in the helicopter crash, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, it was awful. I mean, Brandon, my eldest, was literally in bits. My youngest was like, no, that's not real. But he knew, he's always known he was named after him, because it was our eldest who actually named him. We allowed him to choose the name.
Yeah, what a tragedy that was, wasn't it? And I personally don't follow basketball, but I do obviously know that he was an iconic figure, and that it would be horrendous for young lads. I mean, anybody, really. I mean, what a tragedy that was, too.
And he was just getting into supporting children to play basketball. He was going around schools and supporting them, and he's doing so good from his retirement.
Yeah, his daughter passed away as well. It's just
she was on the same flight. Awful, absolutely awful.
No, just count your blessings. What a tragedy that. And so Kelly, the it's been a while, obviously, and you know, as we were saying, you feel old. You I didn't feel it. I mean, that's why I'm going backwards now. And, you know, it's like, I still feel like 18. I still feel like a young lad, and lots to do and lots of dreams. And that's what's great for you, Kelly. You've you've got lots going on, and that's fantastic. And I'm very proud of you that sadly you we were talking about your dad. You lost your dad a few years ago, which is sad and heartbreaking. When Brandon was two, eh?
He was only 2 years old, so he never really got to meet our second child, Corby, either.
And a lot of the fans will, you know, and I remember the day very, very well, Kelly, just thinking back to, it was a special day, actually, for me. It's interesting. My assistant, a lot of people say, how did Kelly end up in New Zealand? What actually happened? And I do refer to it in the autobiography, Keeping the Dream Alive. But basically, one day my assistant came. Had a lot more, messages and letters and lots of things from all over the world, not just for the tribe, but some of the other shows that we've done. And still today, we get a lot of messages. And I always try and get back to some of the fans. If they've taken the time and are good enough to contact me, I try and get back to at least some of them every week and always try and get back. It's very important. And your parcel, you'd sent a tape, hadn't you? Do you remember a tape to me or something? And my assistant said, look, there's a fan of the tribe who loves the music and is a singer. So, and we get lots of these, Kelly, but for some reason I said, I was waiting to go on our set and I thought, I've got about 20 minutes. So I put on your tape and I was blown away. I thought it was fantastic. I thought your voice was wonderful. And I then immediately said to my assistant, is there a telephone number? And she said, yes. So I got her to phone, and your dad, bless him, answered the phone and then hung up. And then I said, you better phone back. So we phoned again. She said, it's Suzanne from Cloud Nine in New Zealand. And he hung up again.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember that, but...
he didn't even know I'd sent it, I don't think. So I think he just thought it was like a fake caller.
So your dad, for the listeners, would have thought, what a weirdo, who is this person there? You know, but he was a tremendous man. And Kelly, your mum and I, it seems like yesterday, it seems like 1,000 years ago as well. I mean, it's really weird time. I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you actually hadn't flown, or your mum hadn't flown, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like we'd always holidayed in the UK, so this was our very first flight out of the UK, and a long one. I remember.
So for me, being me, I thought, hey, I know what we're gonna do. I'm gonna catch Kelly. I'm gonna get Kelly down to New Zealand, and all the production team was saying, hold on a minute, is she an actress? I said, well, I don't know, but she's a fan of the tribe. She knows the tribe. She's watched the tribe. She loves the music. She's into music, and I'm sure it will be great. So I remember your mum and dad, we said, well, obviously, we're going to have to send your mum as well. And your mum said, how was that for you, Kelly, to think, oh, my goodness, you're going to have to do a little flight, 24 hours from London to New Zealand? Or not London, it was, where did you fly from?
We went from Newcastle to London and then over by LA, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then through into Australia and then New Zealand. So yeah, it was canny few flights.
Yeah, so that was quite amazing. And you must have thought it was weird. I mean, it would have been, how was it when you knew you were going to come down to and come into the tribe? What was it like? Do you remember how you felt?
Overwhelmed, I think it was. I just remember I was at college at the time and I was doing A-level music and we were putting on this concert. And that's when I'd messaged you to ask if I could use a backing track for our concert. Right. And I remember that's when I got the email asking if I could send a tape. And I did it all on a wonky old cassette player and sent it off. And then, that's when I got back saying about coming over to audition for the tribe. Well, you know, at the time you didn't have social media and things like that going on. So it was literally just a phone call.
Yes.
And I was just I was blown away. I was sort of like, is this real? Like, am I actually going? Or is somebody like, you know, someone found out that I've done it? Because like you say, my dad put the phone down on you twice. So I do apologise for that, Ray.
No, I loved it. I mean, I loved it. I mean, when I spoke to your dad, he was absolutely, and I said to him, I said, look, this, believe me, this is real. And I'm, and I spoke with your mum, and I think he passed the phone to your mum, and I said, I'd like to cast your daughter. I mean, I'd like to, and for you, it was quite soon you both came down. And again, this is the kind of things I'm forever doing this kind of, I mean, it's maybe autism, I don't know, but, you know, I think, hey, yeah, come down next week and let's do it. Yeah. Let's chase the dream. Let's come and join the tribe. You know, you'll be great and you'll be terrific as D, and we'll have fun. We'll do music and the fans will love it. And it's inclusion, which I love, you know, and that's what I love, Kelly, about our tribal brothers and sisters around the world. You know, it is like a big family. It's like a big tribe, you know, that after all these years, here we are, you know, speaking about the tribe, and they're so loyal, and there's new people every week finding the tribe on, you know, it's on Amazon Prime in different countries, and people that weren't even born when it was out, people younger than Brandon, and it's just unbelievable, really. That so when you arrived in New Zealand, and probably jet lagged, and your mum, and because how long did your mum stay the whole shoot? I can't remember, or not.
She did, yeah. She was hovering in the background of everything I was doing. I remember being a little wingman, but I was fine. I don't think I got jet lag until I got back home, and then it sort of. It all hit me, whereas my mum was jet lag as soon as she got off the flight. I remember, I think it was Suzanne had made her a coffee to keep her going.
That's right. Yeah, my assistant Suzanne, who's still around and still with us, and after all these years, Suzanne's doing very well. She's married and all happy. And
lovely. She was so nice. Yeah.
She was tremendous, and she understood her boss's kind of quirks, I think, and. So to her, it was normal, you know, because this kind of thing, you know, happened. But you were tremendous, Kelly. And I just loved the notion of you watching the tribe at home, sending, you know, some stuff to us. And then before long, you're actually starring in one of the episodes, you know.
Yeah.
And we did. And Kelly, I was saying to some of the team earlier today, when I knew we were going to be doing the podcast, and you'll possibly remember, but somewhere in our archives, we had recorded some music with you. Do you remember that?
I think so, yeah.
I must dig it out, because I remember at the time it was fantastic. I loved it. Maybe I loved it because I wrote the music.
Yeah.
I actually loved it because you sung it, and you sung it beautifully. And I didn't know if I was dreaming it, and I thought, I'm sure Kelly sung, you know, somebody was playing the song, actually, and I said, no, I said, somewhere there's a version that Kelly sung, and she sung it a lot better than I could ever sing it, and she brought on some nuances and made the song beautiful, you know, with your beautiful voice, and I'm going to dig that out, and who knows in life, Kelly, how things go, how you square a circle. It may be that we release a new Tribe album with a couple of those tracks on, sung by Kelly all these years later. That would be very special for me. And it would honor your dad's memory and your mum. And your mum, my very, lots of love from me. Your mum's a lovely lady and a good mum. And that's what makes the world go round. And you don't, you know, in this world that we inhabit, you need days like that. You need experiences like that. And Kelly, it's lovely for you to be supporting those people in your educational side and with Brandon and sorry, that Kobe, is it? It's Kobe, that's the name,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Being a mom and you know, it's just tremendous that, and Kelly, had you always, as a young lass, had you always been drawn to the arts?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I was always a creative individual. Like, at school, my favourite subjects were English, art, drama, not so much maths or science, I'll be honest, apart from biology, quite like me biology.
Yes.
I was drawn to all the creative subjects, and I think I always have been like that.
Yeah. And did you do any, I mean, again, it's just all in a blur, but did you, you hadn't done much acting, or had you? Did you do, obviously, high school plays and this kind of thing?
Yeah, just through school, like stage productions and things, yeah. And concerts and talent shows, and yeah, just like your normal that you'd get involved in being a creative person.
Yeah, but I know you were performing. You did some performance in your music, didn't you? And mm-hmm. But was that like around clubs, or was that just at school again? Or
I was working with before the tribe, I was working with a songwriter here where I'm living now. Yeah. And he produced the music and needed a singer for it. So I was working with him quite a lot.
Wow.
And we were recording material and everything. I think this is where the idea came from as well, like to use a backing track within a concert we were doing at college. But because yeah. I love tribal music anyway in general.
Yes.
I think that's where the concept came from.
Yes. Isn't that great that and Kelly, you were saying earlier you're so busy on other things, you're not doing a lot of your music anymore, or?
No, not at the moment. I started having a few issues with my throat, to be honest. So every time I was singing for a while, my throat was really, really hurting.
Yes.
So I was advised to stop for a while from my doctor. So I've had to do that, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. And what about the kids? Have they picked up your artistic streak, or are they more into sports, or have they shown any musical aspirations or drama or?
Not so much music. My eldest is, well, over here, the school that he's at, they do GCSEs for 3 years, not just two. So last year he had to choose his GCSE options. And one of them is art alongside his sport. So he's very artistic with art. I think he's got that from me as well.
Yes.
And my youngest, I think he's going to be on the stage, to be honest. He's very dramatic, very dramatic.
Isn't that great? And what about your mum and dad? Were they, did you pick up your thing from them, or did it skip a generation? What about your grandparents?
My mum was very artistic, and my granddad was a professional photographer.
That's terrific. And so, Kelly, I mean, are you what's known as a Geordie?
No, that's more up Newcastle way.
Yeah, because that's what we were saying before. So you're in Durham.
Yes,
and Durham. And forgive me, my geography. So Durham, you're how far away from Newcastle?
Oh, about an hour on the train.
That's not too much then. So,
no.
But it's that. It's interesting for some of the listeners around the world, all the different regional accents in England, which I've always found fascinating. Because I'm from England as well. I mean, I was born in
Italy.
Yeah, but raised in Canada, live in the States, all over the place. But it's quite amazing, just all the different accents so that's incredible. Now, what was I going to ask you? There was something. Oh yeah, that. How was it when you got back from the tribe? Did you go back to school, Kelly?
Yeah, so I carried on acting on stage, like stage productions. And whilst I was doing that, I put myself back through college, and that's where I retrained.
Wow. So you retrained to do your working with learning difficulties and this kind of thing?
Yeah, so I retrained working with children on the autistic spectrum.
That's fantastic.
And I also had a job as a drama coach for a performing arts company as well.
Isn't that great? And did you get recognised at all from anybody that saw you in the tribe?
No, I wasn't recognised. But obviously, when I applied for the job, you had to have some sort of experience within that industry. So when I'd written it on, he'd gone on to have a look. Yes. And that was it. I practically got the job from the tribe. Yeah.
And so, Kelly, I'm just trying to think back. How long would have you been in New Zealand when we were shooting that? How long were you there for?
Oh, I think I came over in the May.
Yes.
I'd just done all my exams. I remember when I came over to audition, I'd brought all my books with me because I had exams as soon as I got back.
Wow.
So I remember, I'd done all my exams and I think I flew out in the May and I was there till Christmas, getting on for Christmas.
Long haul, wasn't it? That
flew? It absolutely flew. And I think it's just because it was something that you loved and you got with everybody and you'd gained friends and family. So it absolutely had flown over.
And Kelly, a lot of the listeners they're always fascinated to know for young cast members what it was like. We had house parents and you would have stayed in one of the cast houses, is that right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And your cast mother was?
Was it Terry?
Terry, that's right, Terry. Yeah,
Terry and David.
Terry and David, that's right. And your mum stayed there as well, did she?
No, she stayed in the UK. I flew on my own from Newcastle to London and that's where I met Terry and David, so I met them in London and then flew with them for the rest of the way and then I flew back on my own because I think they stayed on a little while in New Zealand actually.
Production, that's right.
Yeah.
And then how long was your mum in New Zealand for?
She came over for that little week that we had off. I think it was round about October.
Okay, yeah, so
she came out for a week and we had so much fun just watching movies and going out and going down the beach. And
now what a tremendous experience. It's amazing. I mean, you know, it's a long flight as well, isn't it? And it just seems to go on forever.
Yeah.
you know, at the height of the Cloud Nine production, not just for the tribe, I used to have to commute between London and New Zealand.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd do a week here and a week there, and I'd sit on that flight and think, oh, goody, only another 18 hours to go. But absolutely, it's funny what you get used to, isn't it, in life?
Really? Yeah.
After all, it became nothing. You know, I'd get off the plane and go into a mixing suite or then fly back and, you know, get off at Heathrow and go into London, into the office. And it's weird. It's just, it's all relative, really. Now, Kelly, I've got a lot of questions. And if you bear with me, I'm just going to pull up some, so I'm not hogging you by myself as much as I'd love to have long chats. We've got all the fans who are keen, so you bear with me here. Okay. I'm just going to, so we got one from Kais Lamora. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly, Kais, but Dee's Northern accent couldn't be missed. Enjoyed having you on the show. And I'm from the UK, live around the north too. And hearing accent first time, I was so shocked in a good way. My question is, do you still live in New Zealand and are you still friends with the tribe cast? So you obviously don't live in New Zealand anymore, Kelly, but I mean, do you keep in touch with any of the tribe cast?
I do, yeah. I think social media has really helped with that, to keep in contact with cast and some of the crew as well.
Oh, that's terrific. That's very good. Now, we got one from Isabella Milne. Good morning, Isabella. What was it like to play a character that had cool pink hair and a cool rock chick look with a great independent and yet sassy personality of an individual tribe girl? I really like how Dee is different in a good way, and being different is actually a good thing. Are you anything like your character in any way? And if so, what is it like to play such a cool rebel-like character? I've got a couple of other elements here, so bear with me, Kelly. What costume of hers do you prefer out of your Mozzie one or your new individual one? Also, what was it like to move from the UK to New Zealand? So we've kind of dealt with that. But so did you enjoy your character, Kelly? Did you like that rock chick kind of look? Did you enjoy that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. She was... she was sassy. It's not a word I would have used, actually, but yeah, that is a really cool word for her. I wasn't anything like her, I don't think. I was quite an awkward teenager. I was pretty shy, considering what I did. I was quite shy. But I think I'm more like her now. I think as you grow up and develop, you become a lot more confident within yourself. I think that's a given.
I think you're right, actually. It's quite interesting. And a lot of people would scoff, and I know my wife would choke on a cup of tea if she heard me say, but I'm actually very shy by nature, you know? And I think a lot of actors and, you know, dramas and arts, music is a very therapeutic thing. It's very good for all people, really, to create. And I love people that create. I love, you know, whether it's for television, movies, or for your own hobbies, or, you know, it's really nice to do that. So that's great. And what about your costume? Did you like the Mozzie costume or your new and individual one?
Oh, I'd probably say the individual one, due to the fact it was a little bit more comfortable. The Mozzie one was hard. If you needed to go to the toilet or whatever, like everything had to come off. So I'd say for comfortable reasons, yeah, definitely. The orange suit.
Basically, that sounds pretty good. So we got now one from Kate McDonald. Good morning, Kate. Hi from Newcastle. Now you're a Geordie, Kate, no doubt. And I think poor Kelly almost fainted hearing me call you a Geordie once, Kelly. So you're down the road from Kelly. So Kate is saying hi from Newcastle. And how did you find playing Dee? I really loved her character. I think she had a great personality and was quite different to a lot of the other tribe girls, as was incredibly independent. Yeah, she was an independent character, eh?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think she had to be part of the Mosquitoes.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting, Moz, the character of Moz as well in the Mosquitoes. We get a lot of Moz didn't appear very much, but she, we're getting a lot of people wanting to do a podcast with Moz. And it's interesting that, so the Mosquitoes, yeah, it was quite a visually interesting aesthetic, the costume and the attitude, that's interesting that, so I've got one from Anastasia Snook. That's a lovely name, Anastasia. Good morning. Did you keep anything from the show in terms of props or clothing? And don't worry if you did, Kelly.
Do you know what? I don't think I did. No. Yeah. Can't remember. It's that long ago. But no, I don't think I did.
Okay. Now we've got one from Antonio Palm. Interesting, Kelly. They're from all over the world. Antonio is from Uppsala. Uppsala is Sweden. So hello from Uppsala, Sweden. If you didn't play D, which other character do you think you could have played?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one, actually, because I really did like D's character. If I had to be put on the spot, which I am.
Could it be male or female?
Ebony, maybe. She's okay. Pretty sassy herself.
That would have been interesting then. Now we've got one from Richard Weston. Hello, Richard. Why were Dee and Patch not in season 5? Probably Richard. We just have to had to. You know, when you're doing 52 episodes, the storylines to fuel 52 episodes each season, Richard, was very difficult. So we had to vary the cast. And, I mean, had there been a series 6, possibly Dee or Patch or other characters would have come back. And there was always things like schooling and for Kelly being away from May until December. You know, we were always aware that you need to get back to your families and things like this. So there's always, we would have loved to have had you certainly in season 5, Kelly, because you're a talented young lass and did a great job. And but it's the reason. It's no other reason at all, Richard. That so, Kelly, I've got one from Jose Angel Madenio, Madenado. Jose, forgive me, I'm terrible. Bear with me. That's an interesting question. Jose, how did you process the move from the UK to NZ? So I suppose, I mean, what was it like just being picked up? And I mean, New Zealand is so different to the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, all the culture and everything's so different. But to be honest with you, it was a lot easier than I expected it to be. And I think it's just because you weren't alone. Like, there wasn't a moment of your day where you were sat on your own. You were around everybody and other people. And I became really close friends with a lot of the other cast members. And if I was ever feeling homesick, there was somebody there for you. So it was just an easier process than I would have imagined.
In fact, we were saying, Kelly, just, you know, I've got one of my sons with me in Australia, and he was reminiscing with you on your, I think, first or second day that he, with some of the other team, I don't know who else was there, but took you guys out for a lunch somewhere, and he got stuck reversing the car or something. It's a very good parallel parker. That's the thing, Jose, that you know, I mean, I'm very proud of all the cast and the crew, and you know, I've often said that we don't just hire people for their talent, but nice people, because you want nice people to be with you shoulder to shoulder. You know, we don't have room for egos or politics or backbiting. Everybody, genuinely, we're tremendous people, really special, and I'm very proud of you, Kelly, and all the team and all the cast and crew, and really lovely people, and they'd look out for each other, and it became like a family, really, like and so you, Kelly, being away from home, you know, evoked a lot of protectiveness in all of the team, and certainly the cast, who would look out for you, and so when my own son said, oh, and I think my daughter Saran probably was with you that night to say, let's take Kelly out and welcome her to New Zealand, and that's nice. That's what's important. And I've got one from Angel Sanchez, just saying D with a big heart. That's nice. That's nice, Angel. Got one from Emil Martin. What would you have liked D and Patch's future to look like after they left the show?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe to be out of the city, maybe out in the countryside and just chilling and having long, lazy summer days and not thinking about anybody starting wars.
That's very nice. Well done, Kelly. That's nice. I've got one from Brett Cook. Good morning, Brett. Hi, I'd be interested to know how you found living so far away from home in the days before Skype and Zoom at such a young age. What was it like? Was it this that led you to not only being in one season, or would you have carried on for another season if given the chance? So, Kelly, did you get homesick at all? How did you feel being so far away?
It was mainly, I'd say I was more homesick probably on the evenings. I think during the day you're so busy learning your lines and going out on set and out on the location. And like I say, you were always around with somebody. If I did get a little bit homesick on the evening, I was in the cast house with other cast members. I had Terry and David looking after us. So there was always someone I could talk to. I think it's great now that we do have Skype and Zoom and social media, and it would have made life a little bit easier that you could just send a message to mum, dad, family, friends. But like I say, I became part of their family, which was so nice. Like they tucked me under the wing, and they really helped me to settle in. And if I did have a little bit of a wobble, then there was always someone there who basically said, you know what, everything's fine. And I always got a phone call as well. I remember, Ray, you always let me ring me mum.
Important.
So I used to ring her like on a Sunday, I think it was, before going back to work on the Monday. And yeah, we'd have a good old conversation then. So that really helped as well.
And Kelly, as a matter of interest, your dad, bless him, did he was a bit frightened of flying, or did he not? He couldn't come down, probably work, was it? Or
no, my dad had a major accident when I was little. It left him paralysed. He was a builder by trade, and he was on scaffolding one day at work, and whoever was supposed to take care of the scaffolding hadn't done it properly, and my dad fell, and he landed straight on his back. So he was left paralysed for a long time, but he had loads of hospital appointments, and obviously he'd broken his back. He'd crushed most of the bottom of his spine, so he couldn't sit for long periods, he couldn't stand for long periods. So to try and do a flight from Newcastle to New Zealand, I think it would have just been a little bit too much for him.
Oh dear, what a shame but he would have been very proud of you, Kelly. That's well, I know he was.
He was.
Some long chat.
I was a daddy's daughter anyway, so yeah. Daddy's girl.
And he walks with you still these days, I'm quite sure, and with his grandchildren, and that's very special. And I've got some questions on Instagram, Kelly, so we'll buzz through. So I'll try and get as many as I can in. So one from Cosmosonic. Hello, Cosmosonic84. I love Kelly and the tribe. And you used to have a serious crush on her. You know, that's interesting. So how does that feel, knowing you were a crush to some of the fans?
Bizarre.
Oh, that's lovely. And we got one from James790. Did it take much time for the NZ tribe folk to get used to the Geordie accent? It's not a Geordie accent, though, James. It's almost there. It's an hour away from Geordie. It's what would you call your accent? It's not Geordie. What is it? Just Northern, is it?
Yeah, just a Northern accent. Yeah.
Now I've got one from August Rose 91. Ray, first want to say you're awesome. Oh, I like this one. Oh, August Rose 91. Ray, first want to say you're awesome. Did you hear that, Kelly?
You repeat it, Ray.
just in case anybody missed it, because I don't get many of these. Ray, first want to say you're awesome for creating this show. You made my childhood great. That's lovely, August Rose. Thank you. But the question for Kelly, do you miss the tribe, and why didn't you stay for one more season? We've already dealt with that, August, but I mean, I guess it's so long now, Kelly, and missed the tribe, but I mean, how do you feel? It's like an experience in your life, isn't it, really, that something that you miss, it's like going an experience, really. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, God, I can't believe it was 18 years ago now when I think back. Yeah, definitely. Like, I missed all the cast and all the crew. It was just an amazing experience. It's something that, you know, later on in life and that, and you think, oh, I actually did that. I mean, even now I look back and think, did I do that? Because it was such a whirlwind, but I'd definitely miss it.
Yeah. How life is. I think I mentioned to somebody the other day in my autobiography, I wrote in the third person, and somebody at the time, everybody's saying, why is he writing in the third person? You know, rather than I. And I never really took any notice of it. But somebody the other day asked me, and it's because I can't believe it's me. It's weird, isn't it? You know, you think, hold on, did I really do that?
Yeah.
It's always happened all my career, you know, the days at the BBC and when I was doing this show, Howard's Way, that got like 15 million viewers. And I think, is that really 15 million? That's a lot of people, you know, watching something you've struggled to write, or even like today that people are going to be listening to this us chat, Kelly. It does my head in, really. You know, and I think, are people really listening? I can't really explain it. It's really weird. And
busy.
Yeah, it is. You know it's happened, and you know you were in New Zealand, or maybe we were dreaming it, Kelly.
Yeah, maybe.
It's too much Northern Brew or something, but. But if you weren't there, then I wasn't there. But I can tell you, you were there, that's for sure. And now we got one from Coco Styler. Oh, that's a nice name. Hello, Coco Styler. Hey, Dee, what are the things you liked and disliked about your character? And then another question on that. How are you as a person compared to your character? We've actually dealt with that aspect, Coco Styler. But what did you like about your character, Kelly? And what did you dislike?
I don't think I did dislike anything about her, to be honest. I think she was a nice character. I think she was loyal to her friends if they needed her. She had a bit of sass, like somebody had said earlier. Very independent. I liked her as a person. I just think, you know, her morals were right.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, she was a very strong character.
Yeah. Dee,
and I had a nice kind of, sass is an interesting description, I think.
Yeah, I like that.
had a nice, lovely sense of humour, very dry sense of humour, and I love humour is very important, but a nice confidence, I can't remember if this was after the Spice Girls or before the Spice Girls, but, you know, I always wanted to portray very strong female characters, you know, why Amber was the leader and, you know, to really, you know, girl power, so to speak, if that's kind of an old-fashioned term these days, but, you know, really to equality, you know, to strong characters rather than the fawning female, you know, and the macho male, you know, to really have some equality. And it was a long time ago, and things have changed, thankfully, where it's still for equality and women's rights. We've still got a long way to go, and in the whole world, what's going on, there's still a long way to go, but at least we're getting there, really, for social justice and where equality in whatever form, sexually, you know, male, female, gender, whatever it is, whoever you identify with, it's very, very important. So, Kelly, I've got one on from our YouTube channel. Hey, Kelly, or hey, Kelly, hey. You know, how are you? I hope you and your family and friends are staying safe during the COVID virus. So I would like to ask if you could play anyone else in the show besides Dee, who would you be? We've already dealt that, Kelly, but I mean, do you have to wear masks in England, Kelly, or not?
Oh, well, that's a sticking point. So it was advisable to wear a mask if you went out and about. It wasn't an essential. But then a couple of weeks ago, it became mandatory to wear one on public transport.
Okay.
And then our government's come out and said from next week, I think it's the 24th of July, it is mandatory now to wear one in shops.
Okay.
So it's been a bit relaxed, I think, with the whole mask situation up until now. It's becoming a lot more now, like, essential.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know in America, you know, because I'm having a lot of Zoom meetings in California, Hollywood, and people are saying, I mean, California is going back into lockdown and people wearing masks. And yet here in Australia, you very rarely see people in masks. It's quite interesting. And in New Zealand, so I don't know anymore. I mean, the World Health Organization, I think we're changing the criteria. They were saying, no, it doesn't do any good, or yes, it does. And it's so confusing, isn't it, really?
Because it's like, if they can't get it right, how do we get it right? And I know it's a virus that we're not used to and that no one seems to know about. But I just think from day one, really, I think masks should have been mandatory.
Yes, no, I think probably some of the lockdowns a bit earlier. But But, you know, are you an anxious person, Kelly? Do you worry a lot? Do you get nervous? Do you get anxious?
No, not really. I don't see the point. I just think it makes you more poorly. I just go with the flow. If they're telling me I have to wear a mask now, then I'll wear a mask. Yeah, tomorrow, I'm going to get my hair cut for the first time since lockdown, and I cannot wait.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, my hair's getting so long. But then tomorrow, if you go in a salon, you have to wear a mask, and that's been mandatory since the reopened. So, yeah, I just don't see the point in being anxious and worried about it. It's there. We know it's there. It's just one of those things. It's like, obviously, I don't walk around and think it's not going to happen to me. It could do, but yeah, I'm not going to worry myself, because stressing is just going to make you really ill.
Yes, I mean, you're probably more at risk for stress than the virus, really. I mean, it's worrying about something is worry is a useless emotion. It's quite interesting. I mean, stress is a good thing to have if it's channeled. I mean, we were born with adrenaline, and to run from dinosaurs, we've evolved that way. But if it gets out of sync, and, you know, we've had, it's a shame, I get a lot of messages from a lot of our tribal brothers and sisters, some very frightened, some very fearful, and I understand it. And but as you say, it's to try and live in the zone, really, live in the day-to-day, and to not worry about what might happen, and don't deal with what's possible. Maybe deal with what's probable, you know, and it's not possible that this isn't going to not correct itself. I believe it will, and we just have to, you know, once vaccines come and it will die down. When you look at history, the Spanish flu and all things like this. What about Brandon? Is he a bit frightened, or is he okay? Is he quite philosophical?
No, he's absolutely fine, Brandon. He's so horizontal. He's just gets on with it. Like, he knows, like, you know, if he goes out, he wears his mask. He went to football, like I said, for the first time on Monday since lockdown. And they didn't have to wear masks, but obviously they can't have a game. There's no, like, contact sport or anything. It was just literally drills and skills. Yeah. He knows to stay 2 metres away. And my youngest, Corby, he's fine as well. I think he's just missing all his friends at school because...
Yes.
Although we're both key workers, as they put it, they could have gone back to school if we wanted them to. We just decided to keep them at home and just wait till September now.
No. And will you be able to have a holiday at all, or not really? Because it's a shame. It's right in your peak of your holidays now in July.
We're in the summer now. I don't think we're going to bother this year, Ray. I think we'll just wait. We'll wait it out, ride it out, and wait till next year, I think, now. There's just no point. There's just too much.
Yeah, no, I think you're wise, really. It's you've got no option, really, and just to let it all unfold as it should. And you know, Kelly, our hour has flown by. I can't believe it's... and I apologize for... if we haven't been able to get to all the other questions. But Kelly, is there anything you'd like to, in closing, say to the tribal brothers and sisters around the world as we celebrate now our 20th, 21st anniversary?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for all the support. And it was so nice hearing some of your questions. And I think it's great that you're still a huge fan of the tribe. And I just want to say a big, big happy anniversary, and to keep the dream alive and keep following.
Oh, that's lovely, Kelly. Thank you for that. And I know I'd speak on behalf of all in our tribe world to thank you for being you, for making a very memorable season 4 with your lovely portrayal as Dee. It was a real honor for me, Kelly, to know your dad and your mum and yourself, and to have featured in a time in your life, you know, which I hope will, you know, you'll pass on to Brandon. And when you're older and you look back and actually we got it on celluloid, they'll see you in that show. And it was very special for me. And I'm proud you're a tremendous young lady, and, you know, you're doing very well. It's lovely to hear you in such a great space, and you're in a good relationship, and a lovely mum with your two kids, and it's nice. You must don't give up on your music though. You must when I can get to our archives, I'm going to search around and see if I can find some of those recordings, because we definitely did them. I know we did.
Yeah, and we did do a couple. Yeah, definitely.
And who knows, we might be able to put that on a tribe album, or do some other new tribal music. I know, we've got a couple of very talented members of the cast who are really into music, Matt Robinson and Vanessa Stacey and Merrill, of course, and lots of talent there. So we might be able to do some more tribal music. But Kelly, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat. And you take good care of yourself. And please give my love to your mum. And don't forget to chase Brandon up about Peter Osgood. And one day we might see Brandon playing for Chelsea. You never lose the dream. And for Kobe to keep going, and and for you as well. Well done to you with helping all those people with difficulties. I think that's tremendous as well, Kelly. And lots of luck to you. You take very good care of yourself. And it's been a real joy having the chat with you. I'll look forward to the next time. Lots of love. Bye bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye bye now. Bye bye.